Jesus, struggle and every doubt that we come up against, Lord. Help us to remember that all that power, God, that you have, Jesus, is within us and at our disposal when we call upon your name, Jesus, and we accept your sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us that day on the cross and what you do for us every day, Lord, that we call upon your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you guys got it there. All right. Hey, how you guys doing? You guys got your Bibles? Let's jam on over. Hey, if you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and if you need one, we'll get you a Bible. Anybody need a Bible? Okay, let's get a Bible back there, and we want to say good morning to you guys. We're glad that you guys are here in the house of the Lord this morning, and also let's remember the people who are online. Let's give them some love and let them know we love them. We love you guys. We're thankful that you're listening to us online. It's good to see you guys this morning. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 6 this morning as we're going through our series of Rebuild. And I heard this guy was on the beach and he was walking along the beach. And as he was going along, he felt like he was kind of feeling pretty down because he had been doing everything God wanted him to do. And reading his Bible and praying all the time and stuff. And he says, you know what, Lord, I just feel like you kind of neglected me and I need a solid and I haven't heard from you in a while. And the Lord saw him. He goes, you know what? He goes, I tell you what, you've been doing so good. I'm going to grant you one wish. And I'm sure it's a true story. And he says, what is it that you want? And I'll do it for you. And he says, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid to fly. So this is what I need you to do. I want you to build me a bridge from here to Hawaii, and then that way I can get to my dream spot. And the Lord looked at him and says, you know what? That's crazy. That's just going to take too much work. That's too hard. It's going to take too long. Just give me something else. And the guy said, okay, well, my wife says I'm not very understanding and that I never listen to her very much. So what I would like is I just need to understand women. And I think that would be great. And the Lord looked at me and said, let's get busy on that bridge. Come on now. Do I owe you guys money? Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah is building he's building a wall. And as he goes, we've seen a lot of problems during In this building project, there's been a lot of things that have been going on as Nehemiah's been building. And as we've seen, the walls of Jerusalem have been torn down because of what happened about 100 years before when the temple was destroyed by Babylon. And so Nehemiah has it on his heart to go and do something about it and rebuild the walls around the city. Because if you got walls, then you had security. And Nehemiah could have easily looked the other way and said, forget it, I don't have no time, I don't want to mess with this, I don't want to get involved with this. But instead of running away from the work, he ran to it. And God wants us to be that kind of a people. Did you know that? He wants us to run to the situation and to plug in and help where people need help. This idea that something is too big for you to make a difference in is a lie from the pit of hell. Did you know that? Sometimes there'll be situations and you're like, I can't help because it's not going to make a big enough difference. But we don't operate like that. Nehemiah didn't operate like that. And so instead of running away from it, he ran to it. God's looking for people who's looking to help. Did you know that? And he wants to use us in a great way. And so Nehemiah, the attack so far has been against the project, it's been against the plan, and it's been against the people. But now the attack from the enemy is going straight for the leadership. How many of you guys pray for the leadership here? Please, God, raise your hand. You guys pray. If you don't, we need your prayers. We covet your prayers because if the devil can't beat you from the outside, he'll try to get you from where? The inside. And so now they're going straight after Nehemiah. But you know what? Nehemiah is tough. And I was thinking about him this week. And if Chuck Norris and Scott Warfield were to have a baby, I'm telling you, it would be Nehemiah. I picture, he's like a man's man. I know that's weird, Chuck Norris and Scott having a baby. But if you could figure, if you could see that, Nehemiah is a strong spiritual guy in the Lord. Not just tough physically, but tough spiritually. And so this is what happens. You guys there, Nehemiah chapter 6? Nehemiah. I tell you what, if you don't help me preach today, this is going to be forever. I'm going to keep you guys here forever. So Nehemiah chapter 6 verse 1, this is what happens when they start attacking Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, and it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies had heard that we had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates. And then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. Everybody say Ono.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It didn't even sound good, does it? And it says that, but they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. If you've got a highlighter, you need to highlight that in your Bible. Like draw some little hearts around that, some little arrows. Nehemiah says, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message the fourth time and I answered them in the same manner. So Nehemiah, at this particular point, the gates are about 95% completed. Now, if you're honest, do you guys ever start? I'm just talking to the men right here. Do you guys ever start anything and never finish it? No? You guys finish what you start? Do you? Okay. Some of us, I've heard that we start stuff and we don't always finish it. But Nehemiah is not just a good starter, he's a good finisher. Because when it comes to what we're doing in Christ and the work we're doing in the Lord, how many of you guys know it's more important that you end off good or better than you started? Did you know that? You can have a great start, but if you've got a messed up ending, you're going to have some problems. Your marriage could have started out great, but if it doesn't end good, then it's just not going to end good. That's what Ecclesiastes says. It says it's the end of a thing is better than the start of it. And you know why that speaks to my heart? Because I didn't start off all that right. Anybody? Anybody? I mean, it was some years. It wasn't until my 30s that I actually really gave my life to the Lord. And I said, God, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, here I am. Let's go with it. But for some people, and God bless them, they grow up in the church and they do really well. But for me, I got a late start. But you know what that tells me? The better of the ending. Better to have a good ending than the start. How many of you guys are thankful that it's not over yet and it's only getting better? It's only getting better. Hey, that gives me heart. That gives me hope. I don't know about you guys. You can sit there and stare at me like that all you want, but I'll tell you what, God is going to do something in me. And I know He's going to do it in you. And no matter how you started out, no matter where you've come from, no matter what's happened, God's doing a good work in you. And you know what the Bible says? He's faithful to what? To finish that, because better is the end of a thing than the start of it. And so Nehemiah is a good finisher, and the walls are just about done. And it says that Sanballat is sending messages to Nehemiah because, see, the gates just need to be hung. And if the gates get hung up, then the enemy stays out. And so what they're asking Nehemiah to do is to come to a place in Ono for a discussion, but Nehemiah has got discernment. You guys know what discernment is? It's the ability to see as God sees, not as things appear. That's what discernments are. Moms, you guys got some discernments with those kids? The ability to see how God sees, not as things seem to appear. Let me tell you guys something before we move on really quick. If you believe everything that you hear, you're going to get hurt by what you don't expect. There's going to be people who say they're on your side, that they want to, that they're for you, and then they'll flip on you. If you hear somebody, you go out on a date and a guy's telling you he loves you so much on the first night, and then you end up sleeping with this guy, and you believe everything that you hear, you're going to end up getting hurt by what you don't expect. How many people have we met that were just like, I didn't expect that? And they buy into a lie because they're not having discernment. That's why Jesus says you need to be as wise as serpent and innocent as what? That's right. And so now Sembalat wanted Nehemiah to meet him halfway in the place of Ono. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Ono is in the middle of where Nehemiah is and Sembalat is in Samaria. It's in this plush area like Sun River. They got hot tubs, jacuzzis, they got Starbucks. It's a place where you want to just kind of get away. And it's this place where you want to relax. Because see, Jerusalem's all hustle and bustle and loud and busy and dirty and everything. And so Sembalat's like, hey, come on up here and meet us halfway in this plain of Ono. Just come on up and we're going to work this stuff out. Now Nehemiah knows that there's something up. It's kind of like if there was an environmentalist convention of 30,000 and they asked a logger to come and be their guest speaker. Hey, would you just come up and represent and speak? Because you would know there's something up with that. And Nehemiah's smelling it out. And he's like, this isn't right. They're wanting to do some harm. There's something that's going on. And so Nehemiah is going to say no to oh no. And I think the interesting thing about it, if we look at it, is how many times does Satan try to get us to meet halfway? At least. So we won't watch an X-rated movie. I mean, we're Christians. But maybe if there's an R-rated with some scenes and we know something's coming up, it's like, I'm not going to go that far. But maybe I'll go halfway. For some of us, I know we've made a commitment. We're like, I'm not going to the bar no more. Forget that. I'm done with that scene. I've had enough of that stuff. It's no good. But then you got a friend named Mike who invites you over to the house. And you know, and if your name's Mike here, I'm sorry. But you know going to Mike's house is going to be the same thing as going to the bar. You got any friends like that? You're like, man, I'm not going to go to the bar. I won't hang out. I won't go with that crowd. But then you go, somebody asks you over to the house and you're just like, man, I know what's going to be over there. And you go over there and you're just like meeting the devil in the middle. Don't meet the devil in the middle. You can't meet the devil in the middle. Because there's consequences to compromise. There's going to be a consequence. If Nehemiah goes up there, it's going to be for his destruction and for his hurt, because these people that are acting like they're for him are really against him. And you know what? Some of us, and this is just a reminder, we can't hang out with everybody. In fact, some of you guys need an answering machine that says, in 2018, I'm making some new changes. And if I don't get back to this message, you're the change I'm making. Try it. I'm just saying you don't want to meet the devil where? You don't want to meet the devil in the middle. There's going to be consequences for it. And so Nehemiah's smart because he's got discernment and he's not going to go up. And he says, oh no, and oh no. And so look what he says in verse 3. He says, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down to you. I'm doing a good work. God's got me here and I'm plugging in and I'm getting busy and I'm getting involved and I'm not going to leave what I'm doing here, this good work, to go up there for you. Now, whenever you guys are doing any kind of a work for God, did you know it's a good work? You may not be building a wall or building a church or anything like that, but if you're raising those babies, guess what? And if you're doing it in the Lord, you're doing a good work in the Lord. If you're providing for your family, guess what? You're doing a good word for the Lord. Good work for the Lord. If you come to church and this is where you're like, man, I got to get to the house of God on Sunday and I'm going to spend some time in fellowship with the church. Guess what? This is a good work. Because people get encouraged when they see you here. You may think that you come and nobody notices you, but when you're gone, they're all wondering about you. And we've got a small church, so thank God for that. And as it grows, it might change a bit, but for most of us, every time somebody comes in here, we notice them and they're an encouragement. And you're like, it is a job to get to church on Sunday. Did you ever know that? It's tough. You got to get up, especially if you got crazy kids. You got to get up early. You got to get these kids fed. You got to get these kids clothes. You got your husband. You got your wife. You got all this stuff. You got to drive, get gas in the car, get here. It's a pain in the rear end. Getting to church sucks. I don't know. I mean, it does. It just does. It's hard to get here. It's hard to serve. It's hard to fellowship for a few minutes on Sunday. But listen, what we want to do is we want to be about a good work and say, God, we're going to come together and fellowship. We're not going to let the devil shut us down. And we're going to continue to meet together. We're going to invite people to come and we're going to continue to grow because that's the way we do it. And so Nehemiah is like, look, I'm doing a good work and I'm not about ready to come down to you because I got this one thing. Now the principle of one thing, would you guys say it with me? One thing. This is important. Because this principle of one thing, when you're going through the Bible, flows all throughout the Bible. One thing that will simplify your life. And you guys don't even got to pay me for this. I'm going to help you right now. Some of our lives are so crazy. We've got so much stuff going on. And we need to simplify it. And this principle of one thing goes throughout all the Bible. You remember the guy who was a ruler? He was young and he was rich. That's why we call him the rich young ruler. And he went to Jesus, and Jesus wanted him to follow him. And he goes, hey, what do I got to do to have life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments, don't you? And this guy was like all righteous and everything. He's like, oh, I know all the commandments. I've been, yeah, been keeping all of them. And he goes, okay, well, this one thing you lack, sell your stuff and come and follow me. And that's when the guy hit the brakes. You remember? See, Jesus will do that. As soon as you think you've got it, like you're something special, there's always going to be one thing. There's always going to be that one thing in your life that maybe nobody else knows, but you and God know. The one thing. He had idolatry in his heart. You remember Martha? When they were having like that dinner over at the house, I kind of think of it Thanksgiving, and she's in the kitchen, she's banging the pots and she's banging the pans. You know how you get angry when nobody helps you at Thanksgiving and you make it loud, you know, and her sister's out there just hanging out at the feet of Jesus. And Martha's like, man, this is messed up. You need to go tell her to miss thing. To get up and come and help me. Come and help me. I'm banging all these pots and stuff. And Jesus looked at her and he says, you know what? There's one thing that matters. And this is it. And I'm not going to take that away from her. Paul said in Philippians 3 verse 13, I don't know. I'm not a dictionary. I can't remember everything. But in Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, I think it was, Paul said, this one thing I do, forget what's behind, and I press forward to what's ahead. How many of us, at least for me, at least twice a week, I'm reminded of junk 20 years ago? And I hate it. I can't, it's like, I don't know what it is. But it'll hang me up in my walk with Christ because then I start thinking, man, I'm just that. But if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. And what we got to do is remember to forget the past and to push forward. It's the one thing. Listen, don't neglect the main thing for a lesser thing. I was watching this thing on the internet. It's like classified ads and this girl. And by the way, if you ever put yourself out there on the internet, you're asking to get worked, okay? So someone needed to hear that. This woman, she posts up on these classifieds and she says, I need a DVD player. Now, she didn't want to go buy one. She wants somebody to give it to her. And she says, it's going to be a long night with this 3-year-old and a 5-year-old unless I get a movie going. And I was like, oh, Lord, here it goes. Someone's going to light this one up. And sure enough, some guy comes back and he goes, hey, check this out. Why don't you play with your kids? And I was like, dang, I felt that from here, man. That's woo. He said, hey, get involved in your kids' life and play with them. And I was like, snap. And that's right. Man, don't neglect the main thing for stupid stuff. We got to keep focusing. You know what that focus is? It's God. Here's how you simplify your life. It's God. It's your family. And it's everything else. And that's it. If it falls in that everything else category, guess what you do? You change it. You don't do everything else and then God. You don't do everything else and then your wife. You don't do everything else and neglect everything. You prioritize that. you put things in perspective. You got to get your priorities. You got to get your priorities straight. And so Nehemiah's like, listen, I'm doing a good work and I'm not going to come down for something that's less. And I remember that's why we start teaching through the Bible, because we could do clever series here all day long. Guy will tell you. For February, we used to do relational series and we'd call it like Pour Some Sugar on Me. And we'd do like a Def Leppard thing and all this stuff. And it just got crazy. And I'm like, you know what God wants? For us to come together, get into the Word, and just go through the Bible. That's it. Simply teaching God's Word. Simply. We don't got to complicate things. We don't got to get into all this other stuff. Because as we go through the Bible, how many of you guys see stuff on Sunday when we're going through stuff? And you're like, man, I didn't see that before. Thank you, Jesus, for opening up my eyes. Look, we're just going through the Bible. That's it. We could do some clever stuff. And by the way, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, but we want to keep things simple. And so Nehemiah, when they ask him to pull away from his job, he's like, forget this. I'm going to stick to the main thing and keep it the main thing. And so Nehemiah, he's not interested in restoration, but distraction. And Nehemiah shuts down the first attempt to draw him away. But what's interesting about that is they keep coming back. Did you see it? Four times it says they came to Nehemiah in verse 4. Four times I answered them in the same manner. Now, just like these people are coming against Nehemiah over and over again, how many of you guys know that Satan's not a one and done type of predator? Did you know that? He's going to come and come and come and get you and come after you and come after you. He's not going to come to you and go, oh, my bad, I didn't know you kicked dope. Oh, I'm sorry, I had no idea you had victory over anxiety. Oh, wait, that lust thing that you guys were, that, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know Jesus. I'm just going to go. He's not a one and done. What you see in the enemy with Nehemiah is what we see in Satan against us. And we believe in the devil here. We believe he's real. Defeated foe as he is. But he's not a one and done. And so what happens is that these enemies keep coming to Nehemiah, just like Satan did with Jesus. You remember in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and Satan kept coming and kept coming. You know what was interesting to me about that is that at the end of that, if you guys go home and read that, it said, so the devil departed from him until an opportune time. I thought, man, if you just got done getting whooped down by the Son of God, there is not going to be another time. Like, that's it. But if he's going to go after the Lord, you know he's going to keep coming after us. And I think sometimes when we look at it, we say, God, why doesn't it ever stop? Is there now don't raise your hand on this one, but I wonder if there's a temptation that you've been struggling with over and over and over and over again. It just doesn't change. You know, and sometimes people can get righteous and they're like, why are you still struggling with that? You should be over that. Well, it's because it's not your thing. It's my thing that I'm struggling with. But you notice how hard it is, and sometimes you're fighting and fighting and fighting and you're asking God, why don't you just take it? Because when the enemy comes against us, God's using that to strengthen us. It's that where God develops us and he grows us and he challenges us. And so God, what the enemy means for our harm, God does mean for our good. So listen, if you're struggling and you're like, man, this thing, God's doing a good work in it. And so what we got to do is like what James said in James chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. He said, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll what? He's out from you, and draw near, and God will draw near unto you. So the problem isn't that God's not drawing near, it's that sometimes we're not drawing near enough to God. But he's saying, I'm providing a way out for you, but you're going to have to get to me. You're going to have to draw close to me. And you need to do it before things get messed up. Because that's when we first go, we're like, man, we get things in such a mess. And then it's all about, I need you, Jesus. Duh. You needed him when you didn't need him. That's right. And so we want to be drawn close to God every day, having fellowship with the Lord. And so just as the devil keeps coming against us. So these enemies come against Nehemiah. Look at verse 5. It says in verse 5 that they send an open letter. Then Sanballat sent his servants to me as before the fifth time. This guy is just persistent. With an open letter in his hand, and it was written, it's reported among the nations, and Geshem says, oh, well, if Geshem says, then it must be right, right? Hey, how many of you guys know that garbage always follows gossip? I'll read it again. It's reported among the nations, and oh, Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to the rumors, you're rebuilding the wall. Could you imagine people believing anything they heard about you and saying, oh, this is true. I heard this. So this is true. This has got to be true about you, that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So they're like, we're going to bust you on these stupid rumors, and we're going to go to King Artaxerxes, and we're going to tell on you that you're doing an uprising and that you're trying to be the king of the Jews. Therefore, let us consult together. And then I sent to him saying, no such thing is as you're saying being done, but you've invented them in your own heart. In other words, he's like, as my wife would say, you're a dadgum lie. I don't even know what dadgum is, but Vicky will say it every now and again. This stuff has been created in your heart. And he says, none of it's happening, as you say, for they were trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will become weakened in the work and it will not be done. So now, therefore, O God, highlight this verse, strengthen my hands. And so Nehemiah is getting the end of this open letter. Did you see it said opened letter? And when you look at it, I want you to understand why that's important, because that means it was not a closed letter, meaning it was open. So when it came down from the source, everybody was reading it. So it's kind of like it got posted. It went viral. It went on it went on Facebook. It went on Instagram. It went out through the emails. It went out all over the place. And so everybody's reading this garbage about Nehemiah. And when it comes to social media, I think social media is good. I think it gets used for bad. I think a lot of the time we tear people up on social media or post trash on there that we shouldn't be talking about or seeing stuff. But did you know social media can be good? You know your iPhone can be used for good? You know you could text your wife and say, hey, you know what, you're hot. I'm thinking about you. You can text your husband and say, guess what, I'm proud of you. You can email your kids. You can get with your kids and say, hey, listen, I'm praying over you. Man, we can use the internet for post up some scriptures about the Lord on how he's good and holy and mighty. And yet we're using it in this way where we're just like starting trash or commenting on this or commenting on that or tearing somebody up. And so this open letter, it's kind of like it just went out all over online. And everybody sees this accusation against Nehemiah, which is pretty hefty. And if it was me, the temptation would be, I'm going to find out everybody who heard this, and I'm going to go to them. Has anybody ever started trash about you? And you're like, I wonder who knows. I wonder who said what. Now, I know I'm preaching to somebody, because sometimes I'll text some of you guys, and you'll ask me, what did you hear? And I just said, I'm just trying to say, I love you and I'm praying for you. That's it. But sometimes people get talking. We're like, who's been saying, where'd you hear that? And then you go to that person and then you're like, oh man, that's not true. That's not the way it went down. And then you go over here to this person and no, that's not true. That's not the way it went down. And then you're like, I want to know who started all this trash, because then I'm going to them. And then you go to them and you get in their face and you're like, man, this is a bunch of junk, and you know that, and you're a liar and you're trying to set me up. But why doesn't Nehemiah get in his face and argue this and say, hey, this isn't right? He doesn't say any of that stuff. You know what he says? He just denies it. And here's why. Because if you argue with the fool, you're going to become one. You shake your head like this, but I tell you what, the next time somebody talks trash about you, you're going to want to get in their face. You argue with a fool, and you're going to become one. Now, that's not me. That's the Bible. Check out Proverbs chapter 26. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. Why? Lest you become like him. So the people that are talking trash about you, if you try and go and defend yourself and to put out all the fires and try to make everything right, number one, the people who hear the garbage about you, if you go to them and explain to them that what they heard is not true, do you think they're going to believe you anyway? And so Nehemiah's like, forget this. I'm not going to argue with these people. These people are fools, and I'm not going to get involved in any of this stuff. And so what does Nehemiah do? He denies it. He's like, this ain't true. You guys are liars. He prays about it and he gets back to work. If I was to ask you guys, if there's a group of people that got together and you weren't around them and your name came up in the middle of them, do you know a group of people that would just start going off on you? Tearing you up? Nobody? You guys, nobody's got nobody like that? Nobody's got... I'll tell you what. I don't want to break this to you, but guess what? There's people out there that will do that. They will get together, and if your name comes up, and it may be a family member. Oh, I don't know why that they do this and they do that, and I don't know. And they just, they start this, and every time they come over the house, it's blah, 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 and it's this, and it's that. Listen, you take care of your character, and God will protect your reputation. You do what's right, and God will take care of what everybody else is saying about you. And guess what? He can fight better for you than you can fight for your own self. Do you know that? I guarantee you that. It was some of the best advice I had gotten from a pastor when I went into ministry. He said, Jason, just outlive the rumors and keep pressing forward and doing what God wants you to do. Because when we take care of our character, God's going to take care of your reputation. You're not going to have to explain yourself. You're not going to have to go put out fires. You're not going to have to go get people on your side and say, listen, this ain't the way it is. Listen, just commit it to God and take care of your character, and God's going to take care of our reputation. And so we need to learn to move out of some battles that were never meant for us to fight. And so he prays about it and he gets back to work. Check out verse 9. This blew me away as we're getting ready to close out. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now, for those of us, as we've been going through the Bible, you've seen something that's been a pattern in Nehemiah's life, and it's been resistance. Where you just get those seasons, and it's like everything you do, there is a fight. Nehemiah goes down, he gets involved with these people. This ain't his deal. He's living in rich luxury in Babylon. Big screen TV, maids, big house, cribs, everything. That's Nehemiah. But he goes down, he gets involved with these people to help him out. And when he gets there, he gets these enemies trying to come against the people, coming against the plan. And now at this point, they're directly trying to kill him. And he says this, O God, strengthen my hands. Because if I was Nehemiah, and I was helping, and all these enemies were coming against the people, we get through that, and then the people are coming against each other. Do you remember that last week? How they were gossiping and backbiting and tearing each other up and sending texts, oh, you don't know what they said to me, they're awful, they're horrible. And Nehemiah's trying to not only build a wall, but build a people. And if I was him, I would have said, bag this. I'm done. Forget this. You guys can do whatever you want to do. This is crazy town. I'm out. I've got a house. I've got a car. I've got a setup. I don't need to be here for all of this. But instead, what he does is he says, God, I'm not asking you to change the circumstances. I'm not asking you to change the situation. I'm not even asking that it gets any better. But what I am asking is that you strengthen me through it. See, we need to be praying that prayer that Philip Brooks, the old-timey pastor back in like the 18th century, said, God, I'm not praying for a lighter load. I'm praying for a stronger back. See, we don't always need an exit route, but a strength routine. Vicky, I remember when I used to work out, I know you can't tell now. I know, right? That's where my son-in-law's come in and go, no, you're... So I'm going to get you guys later. But back in the day, we used to work out, and Vicky would be like, you know what, I want a strength routine, and I would lay out this like 3-month plan, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, for weeks, months. And she would go to the gym the first day, and she'd be like, ow, forget this hurts. And I'm like, you just hopped on the elliptical, right? It's like, man, if you can't get through this, it's like, just forget this. And it's kind of like the same thing with God. We get one step into trouble and we're like, bag this, forget this. I'm selling the house, doing a yard sale, putting my junk on eBay. I'm out of here. But sometimes God wants not us just to go through something, but to grow through something. And that takes staying in those situations and saying, and this is a word for somebody that's in that place right now, and God hasn't answered your request to get you out of it. It's because He's looking to develop you in it. I don't like it. I don't like it any more than you do. But I know what He's doing, and I've seen what He's done. And some of you have come out of it, and you say, God, thank You for what You got me through. Thank You for strengthening me through it. Nehemiah doesn't pray for a lighter load, but stronger hands to get through the work that God has him to get through. And so now it gets worse. Check out verse 10. Nehemiah is going to end up getting a word from a prophet who's supposed to be like a pastor who hears a word from God and wants to bring it to the people, and somebody you could trust. But this prophet's a little different. It says in verse 10, after I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabel. And if I'm messing those names up, what you do is you send me an email. Send me an email to Guy Leach at Ark Bible Church. And I'll read it. I will. I'll read it. I'll get back to you. So he says, and Mehetabel, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you, Nehemiah. Indeed, at night they will come and they will kill you. Look at what Nehemiah says. This is why he's so tough. They're like, you better run for the hills, boy. You know what Nehemiah says? This is a man's man. He says, and I said, should a man such as I flee? And I was like, whoa, Nehemiah, what kind of man are you? You must be pretty bad business. Like, you must be tough, man. And you know what he was? Because before this guy started getting into his head, guess who Nehemiah was getting with in his life? God. Did you remember? God strengthened my hands. So they're messing with the wrong guy. They don't understand that this guy isn't feeble and weak, and he's going to be swayed by every bad news that he ever gets. Do you know somebody, they hear some bad news, and then the first thing they think is, oh God, I'm dead. This ain't Nehemiah. Because he's been strengthened in the Lord. He says, should a man like I flee? Who is there such as I? Meaning, who is there who gets with God and gets built up in the power of the Lord and then goes out and walks around in fear? He's like, that ain't me. That's not the way I do it. And he said, who am I to go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And then I perceived that God had not sent this guy at all, and that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat hired him. And for this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way in sin. Did you make the connection of being afraid, act that way in sin? That tells me that a lot of the time when we end up in sin is because of something that we've been afraid about. And he says, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to leave these people behind. And he says, so that they might have a cause for an evil report against me, that they might reproach me. Oh my God, he said, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to their words, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So what is this prophet doing? He goes to Nehemiah and he's trying to isolate him. He's like, get away from these people. Because these people are building together and they're coming together in this vision that God has for them. And he wants to isolate them. And I want to tell you that's the same thing Satan will want to do to you, is isolate you. He wants to get you to where you miss one Sunday, two Sundays, a month, a year, whatever. You get away from your friends. You get away from fellowship. You get away from God. You get away from worship. You get away. And then what happens is there's this spiral. Because if the enemy can isolate you, then you're alone and you're open. And he says, I know he was trying to isolate me and get me away from everybody and to run and to leave everybody back here that I'm in charge of behind. And he says, but I'm not going to do it. There's another tactic. He says, they're going to kill you tonight. You know what that tactic is? The fear of the future. It's going to happen tonight. It's going to happen later. Because if the devil can't get you on your past, he'll try to put fear in your future. And you know what fear does? Fear spreads. If your husband's scared, you're going to be scared. If your wife is scared, guess what? You're going to be scared. Your parents get worried, guess what? You're going to get worried. And it spreads like fire. And Nehemiah's like, I'm not going to have it. But here's the cool thing about it. And worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. Here's the cool thing about fear, though, is that God has not only redeemed us from our past, but he secured your future. Did you know that?
Yes.
He's got you like nobody's got you. In John chapter 10, it says, Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so as we close this out this morning, I want us to remember that, listen, God has got us. And when you look at this through Nehemiah and everything that was going on with him and all of the resistance and all of this fighting, I can't help but to see Jesus through all of this book as we're going through this book. When Nehemiah was building and he was doing a good work, and they said to Nehemiah, they said, come down from there. Let's go and meet and let's get up over here and just stop doing that stuff. Get rid of the work. It's the same thing that they said to Jesus when he was on the cross, you remember? And he was giving his life for our life. And they looked at Jesus and they said, he could heal other people, he could save other people, but let's see him save himself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. But the Lord said, listen, I'm doing a good work, not a good job. And he gave himself on the cross. And then when Nehemiah, they slandered Nehemiah, they mocked Nehemiah. You remember all the names they were calling Nehemiah and tearing him up and all of this stuff. And he didn't argue back, because he knew if you argue with the fool, you become a fool. And the same thing happened with the Lord when he was given his life and they mocked him and they spit on him. He didn't argue back. He didn't say nothing. He didn't open his mouth, but he got with the Father. When they were slandering him, he didn't slander back. And then when we see this false prophet at the end of this, and he said to Nehemiah, he said, there's an easy way out. All you got to do is run. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and Satan came to him, he says, there's an easy way out. All you have to do is worship me, and you don't have to go through this for them. And the Lord was faithful all the way through it. And so if you guys would stand with me this morning, we're going to close out in prayer. And we want to celebrate the life and the sacrifice and the good work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died and He gave His life for us. The Roman road, do you guys remember it? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is life in Christ Jesus. And though while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this morning, if you don't know Christ and you don't have a relationship with Him, this is your opportunity to change that. Sacrifice for us. We thank You that You give. Use us as You would use us. We are Yours, Lord. And for the one who wants to make a decision to give their life and surrender to a God who loves them and wants to submit our life to You. Father, we come to You with all of our iniquities, God, all of the things that we've done, all of the shame, all of the guilt. And we ask that You cleanse us, and though our sin was as scarlet, wash us white as snow, Lord. That we can leave this place different than the way we came in. Father, I pray that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Give us a heart for You, God, to love You, to serve You, to live righteously and holy for You, God. We're done with this place. And we need what's real. And we know where to go to get it. And so, Father, we love You. We confess our sins to You. We ask that You come into our lives. Change us. Fill us up with Your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. So listen, this is your opportunity now to respond. If you've made a decision for Christ and if you love the Lord, I'm not saying you're perfect, I'm just saying you love the Lord and you want to have that relationship with Him, or maybe you have that relationship with Him. This is your time to respond. And we're going to take communion, we're going to do two worship songs, and then we're going to head out of here. But it doesn't have to end here. You can take this with you. This can be a new beginning for some of us. And so like Jesus said on that night that He was betrayed and He came and He had the Last Supper with the disciples, and He said, this bread is My body broken for you, and this is My blood of the new covenant. And He wanted us to come together in fellowship. And when we do this, we're doing this in remembrance of Him. And how cool that after 2,000 years in Newport at Ark Bible Church, we're doing the same thing that they've done throughout the centuries. All for Jesus. And so I want to invite you as we do these last couple songs to come up. However you guys want to do it, take it back to your seat. And then we're going to close out with a couple worship songs.